Hi, everybody. Welcome to East to West Weight Loss Surgery, the podcast. I'm April Williams, and I'm the West.
And I'm Jason Smith, and I'm the East. And today we're joined by a very special guest, Becca, who is a pre-op in her journey to weight loss surgery. So we are talking all things pre-op today. We got a great show lined up for you guys with a super question that was brought to us by Becca. So we thought, what better way to address that than to bring her on, and we'll talk about it.
I'm super excited to be here.
So, Becca, I have to say, we're so thankful that you reached out with your question. And I do have to say, this gave me a little bit of like a, oh, duh moment. So I am a high school teacher. I pride myself on creating lessons and being super prepared so that, like, you know, my students, if they have questions, already have the answer. And I absolutely left that part of my brain behind when Jason and I started East to West because, you asked this question and it so struck me. Like, all of a sudden I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think that people wouldn't understand, you know, like what we're talking about or what we're referencing. So it was, I mean, I'm so thankful that you sent that question. And then of course, as soon as you sent it, you and I had that conversation and I messaged Jason and I was like, Jason, dude, we got to have Beck on. We got to talk about this. And even Jason and I were like, oh yeah, that would probably make a lot of sense. It's like, yeah, that's really good. So thank you very much for asking that question and sending it in. So if you guys have been following us for a while, you know that we have been deep diving into identity. We've been trying to do a lot of work around, you know, what identity is and how we kind of create this identity for us after weight loss surgery, because we realize that, you know, our old life or old self is not what's going to serve us moving forward. So Becca sent this question verbatim to me on Instagram. She said, I'm only halfway through episode 3, but I want to talk about identity because I want to figure out my own identity, but I don't know how to start. And I mean, that question just boom, hit me like a ton of bricks. So really, you know, when you asked me that question, I thought, okay, well, the gist of your question is, you know, I don't know what my current identity is. And I want to start doing this work because I know things, right? I know that my identity is going to have to change after weight loss surgery. And I think it's super profound that you're actually doing this work before you've even like had the weight loss surgery. I think that really just speaks to, you know, your commitment to making sure that this is successful for you, because as we've said, I think in every episode now, and as Wendy taught us, you have a 50% chance of relapsing 2 years after weight loss surgery. And that 2 year window is so critical, so important that we really dive into these issues and figure stuff out. And yeah, just the fact that you're thinking about it, yeah, super important. So it's a question I think that a lot of people have never really thought about. And Becca, you and I talked about this a little bit, and we will talk about this when we dive into the show. But, you know, identity is something that I think a lot of people don't know that it's something that they should think about, or it's something that they just don't, you know, they don't want to go there for a lot of different reasons. Sometimes it's easier to just operate on autopilot, and we totally get that. But, you know, if we want to do this work, this meaningful work, then, you know, these are kind of the questions that we have to ask. So, you know, and it's also difficult too, because, you know, identity, it's multifaceted. And I think sometimes we get locked into thinking like, oh, my identity is only, you know, this one thing. And it's not, you know, it's all encompassing. So I just have to say, I'm very thankful that you asked this question. And as Jason and I have been talking a lot about this, the identity, this is not just about, you know, weight loss surgery. This is the work that everybody can be doing no matter where you are in life. This is just about, you know, this is about how we become the person that we want to be. If we're not happy with an aspect of our life, if we're not happy with where we're at, you know, instead of searching for those outside things, it's, you know, we can really, I think, accomplish quite a bit if we look for the inside things. So yeah, just, I hope everybody knows this isn't just related to weight loss surgery. It's a big piece of it, but it's important for, I think, everybody just to know and explore. So the other thing I want to make sure that I say too is that we record our podcast on Zoom, which is awesome because not only is it a true podcast, but then you can actually log on to our YouTube channel and you can watch us. And today, kind of towards the middle and the end, we're going to be sharing some graphics. So if you are a visual learner like me and you're listening and you think like, oh man, it would be really nice if I could like see what they're talking about. Guess what? You can. All you have to do is find us on YouTube. And all you need to do is type in East, the number 2, West, _ WLS and will pop up, and this podcast will be visible there. So Jason, I know you need to hop off. We're recording this on a different day, but is there anything that you'd like to add before you have to leave us?
Just want everybody to really, really tune in and pay attention to the information that's given, because there's going to be a lot of fantastic information today for pre-op patients, for everybody involved. If you know somebody that's going to be pre-op, that's very important to get this information across. So everybody just listen up and enjoy the show, even though I'm not going to be a part of the rest of it. I just appreciate being on for the little bit that I was.
As always, Jason, we appreciate you. It wouldn't be east to west if you weren't a part of it. So, you know.
That's true. All right. Well, thank you, ladies. And you guys have a good one.
All right. Thanks, Jason.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Becca. As Jason's hopping off here, I would love for you to be able to introduce yourself a little bit to us. You and I are getting to know each other pretty well, but our listeners or our watchers aren't. So just tell us a little bit about yourself. What's your backstory?
Sure. So as you said, I'm Becca. I am 22 years old. I am a full-time student. And when there's not a pandemic outside, I am a preschool teacher. So since I can remember, I've always struggled with my weight. My mom has kind of just said that since I was 5, when I got my tonsils and adenoids taken out, the weight just kind of like appeared, kind of almost. So I've always just kind of been known as like the fat or ugly friend, or just like the funny girl. So I just accepted it. And about 2 years ago, I was actually doing like really well on keto. And I lost 70 pounds in that year span. And like it just made such a difference, just those 70 pounds. And then life went spiraling. My boyfriend's father committed suicide, and we both just kind of, like, I went spiraling because of my own mental health background. So it kind of landed me here. Like, I just kind of gained back all of my weight and then some. So it's been rough.
Wow. Yeah, that is definitely rough. And I think a lot of us can relate to your story growing up. The weight just sort of appeared, and then we kind of morphed into this person to fit into these social circles that we wanted to be a part of. And then pretty soon that was just kind of like how we were living our life. And Jason speaks about that all the time, right? He was just the fat, funny guy who was over the top in personality, because that was just, you know, what he thought he needed to be. So tell us about your VSG journey. How did you arrive at, at wanting to have weight loss surgery?
So like you said, I am pre-op. So right now I'm like kind of in the middle of doing my prerequisites for insurance, but because the world is almost ending right now, everything is closed. kind of stuck at a standstill. But it's just becoming real. Like I mean, when I was younger, I had it was like an aunt to me, but it was more my mom's best friend. She had bypass, and I was like, whoa. And then I was like, I don't know. Like, I was like, that's kind of like a lot. Like, I could do this. And like, you know, like the basic, like, I could do this easy. I'm going to lose weight. It's never like that. And just like one day it just kind of like hit me. I was just like, I've got to do something. Something has to happen. And I was like, I've done this, I've done that, I've done the third. And it's just that same cycle of you gain back all your weight and then pretty much always more. So it was just like, it was it.
Yeah. Yep. Nope. We've all been there. We absolutely have all been there. Yes. So your story is absolutely unique to you, but everybody in the weight loss surgery community is going, yep, nope, totally get that. So how did you find Jason and I? How did you find East to West weight loss surgery?
So I made my loss surgery account to kind of keep myself like accountable, to say, like, and I kind of just went on like this follow spree like I normally do. I'm like, I'm just gonna follow everybody who comes up on the VSG hashtag. And so I stumbled upon your page, and you posted about the virtual bariatrics meetup. And I was like, I don't know about this. And you were just like, come on, like, join us. Like, I hope to see you. And I'm like, okay. So I did. And then you were talking, like, it was just me and you in the chat first time, like, before everybody hopped on. And you were just kind of telling me, like, what East to West was and who Jason was. And, I mean, as you and Jason know, I kind of call you, like, my BSG mom and dad. Because, like, as much as I know and, like, I know from you guys, like, that's everything that I know so far.
Well, I'm super glad that you found all of us, and I know that you will continue your learning with all things related weight loss surgery, but yeah, we're very happy that we connected. And it was actually a hilarious story. So when you told, I think you told Jason and I independently, but kind of around the same time, that I was your VSG mom and he was your VSG dad. And I was, Jason and I were chatting, and I was like, man, what the hell? She says that I'm her mom. I was like, oh, hell no. Like, I need to set, no. And then Jason was like, how old are you? And I was like, oh no. And then, you know, very hilariously, he's like, you know, you could be her mom. And I was like, oh my God, that's it. I'm done with you. I'm done being your friend. Like, So Jason very quickly brought me back to reality, was like, you know, that's a compliment and you are that old. And I was like, oh.
I don't mean it that way.
I know you don't. That is not on you, girl. That is not on you. That's just me still not recognizing that I'm 39, still thinking that I'm 25. So it's all good. But like you, I mean, as you know, and as like we always say, we are here to support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. And I'm glad that we're connecting. And the whole reason we wanted to do this was to have these types of conversations with other people who are either about to go through weight loss surgery or who have had weight loss surgery, because Jason and I find the best way to learn about our own experiences is to talk about other people's experiences with them. So this is absolutely perfect. So if you guys want to follow Becca along in her journey, we absolutely encourage you to do so. She is on Instagram at refreshing.becca. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes. Awesome. And she would love your support. So Becca, is there any part of the question that you want to like define or reiterate, or is the gist kind of correct? Like, are you just saying like, I don't really know what my current identity is, but I want to start doing this work. So like, where do I start?
Right. You're pretty much spot on. So during the virtual meetup, you were talking about identity too. And I'm behind on a podcast, unfortunately, but,
it's all good.
but I was watching the third one and I finished watching it and I was like, all right, like we're talking about identity. But like, I was like, I already know who I am. Like, I'm Becca. Like, what is there? What else is there to know? And like, after like the episode, I was just like, I just lied to myself because I have no idea who I am. Like, even still, like after like our conversations and like going through some stuff, like I was just like, so who am I? So I yeah, that just, it totally made me ask that question. So like, I'm pretty much just interested in like finding out how to identify myself.
I'm right there with you. I have this conversation often with my sister, and actually the most powerful conversation I had was with my sister and her friends. It's a little bit foreign to me because a big part of my identity is being a teacher. That is just who I am at my core. I love to learn. And then if I'm excited about something, I like to share that with the world, which is, as you know, basically teaching. So for me, that part of my identity has always been rock solid. It's just a calling. I just know. And for a lot of people, I think they struggle with that. They just don't know, like, what am I called to? Or, you know, what am I supposed to do? And I think that it is also a part of our identity, right? Just work and what we do to make a living is such a huge piece of American life. But it's also never something that is taught to us about, like, well, how do I think about my identity and, you know, who really am I as a person? And it's very easy to get into the mode of just going through the motions of life, going through what you are told to do. Well, I'm going to go to school and then I'm going to pick a job and I'm going to make money and then I will have rent and then I do this and that. So that's very surface. And I think diving into our identity and really thinking about it is difficult. It's a lot of work. It brings up a lot of emotions, but the reward for that is, I think that all of a sudden your life, if you're living your identity, if you identify your identity, and then you really kind of start living it, it becomes much more rewarding. That is your purpose in life, is to live your life as your identity, is to live those ideals, to live those values, to live those beliefs. And then I think when you really start doing that, things start falling into place, because it gives you a way, when an opportunity comes. Before, you might have just said yes to everything because you had no idea what you're actually about. But once you kind of start understanding what your identity is and you get really clear with it, I think it makes it very easy to say, oh, well, these are the types of things that I want to do. And then you start gravitating towards those things. And then as opportunities come, you can check that opportunity against your identity. And you can say, well, that aligns to me, or that doesn't align to me. So it's just a way to really start to help us make decisions. I think it's a way to get crystal clear about what we want in our life and to really provide that path for us to move forward. And if you don't have that, then you're just kind of like moving through life aimlessly and you don't know what the point is. So that's why, you know, in our conversations and in the conversations I've had with Jason, and then even with my therapist, Wendy, you know, identity is not just weight loss surgery. It's something that I think I identified quickly with, because I realized, like what you had said, I kind of been living a lie and I just hadn't really done the work. And I had this public identity, and then I had a private identity that didn't necessarily match. So this learning for me just happened to come out of the lens of weight loss surgery. But this is a lens, this is something that can be applied to everybody's life, no matter where we are or what we do. So, okay. So I am, of course, not an expert. That's the whole humility part in this. So I just want to make it clear, the questions that I'm going to ask you today and the things that I'm going to say are simply what I have experienced as an individual moving forward. And the things that we'll share today, like on the screen, are things that Wendy, who is a licensed mental health counselor, has provided me. It's from the book Atomic Habits, which you and I are both in love with. So, right. So I'm definitely drawing on the things that I've learned from the experts, but I'm absolutely not the expert. So this isn't to say like, this is the end all be all. This is just the process that I followed when I had the same questions that you did. So I'm just going to kind of go through the steps, and I'm just going to ask you what your answer is in the very moment for these questions. And if you don't know the answer, it's totally fine. Just say like, oh God, I don't know. Or that seems like it's really raw to me, or, you know, you do you, but whatever you feel comfortable with, definitely share. And then I will also add in my experiences if I feel that necessary. Okay. So basically, I think when you have this question, what is my identity or where do I start? I think there's really four steps to figuring it out. The first step is you have to get clear with what your current identity is. You have to start with the foundation. You got to figure out where you are at. And then your second step is to really think about, how is my current identity impacting my life right now? And then really start kind of breaking it down into two areas. Well, what part of my identity is serving my life, and what part of my identity is not serving my life? And then you can even go a step further. What part of my current identity will serve me after weight loss surgery? What part of my identity will not serve me after weight loss surgery? And while in our previous discussions with Wendy, right, there's multiple facets to our identity. But if we know we only have 2 years to find success after weight loss surgery, we should probably focus on that area of identity that's going to help us with our weight loss surgery. So that's why we'll kind of steer the conversation in that direction. And then the third step is to refine and revise, right? So what do you want your identity to be? What type of person do you want to be? What do you want your life to look like moving forward? So let's get crystal clear on that. And then once we've really refined and revised, then we kind of have to plan backwards, right? So we have to say like, okay, well, this is the person that I want to be, or, you know, this is who I am. What would I do then in my everyday life to live that identity, right? So what evidence would I be collecting to prove to myself and to the world, this is what I'm doing? And we've talked about really that third and that fourth step in previous conversations and episodes and videos, but that's okay. We're really going to go through this whole process as one continuous process, just so we can show people that, you know, this work can be done. It's worthy work. It's not like this huge, you know, undertaking, but these are just things that we can think about. So, okay. So I'm going to go back to step one. So step one, get clear with your current identity. So the big question, have you thought about this? What is your current identity?
I don't know. I mean, I kind of know who I am, but I don't know how I identify.
Okay. So when you say, like, I kind of know who I am, right? Can you go any deeper? Like, what are your values or what do you believe in? What are those, like, what are those ideals and principles that you feel are at your core, no matter what the situation is in life?
Right. So I think, like, some of my values are creativity. I'm very a much, like, visual learner. I like the creative kind of aspect of life. I mean, I'm a writer, artist, crafter. So I kind of see that as something I truly value. Friendship and support as one collectively. I mean, I guiltily wouldn't probably be here without my support system that has gotten me this far. And then health, obviously, because I mean, I'm doing this work for a reason. I want to get weight loss surgery for a reason. Education. So as I said, I'm in school and I am a preschool teacher. So that's a huge part of my life. And also kindness. I'm a very huge person that, like, kind of preaches kindness. You know, I write be kind on, like, every opportunity I see. Like, even if it's not at home, like at the grocery store, I'll write be kind somewhere. So something like that is kind of like what I value. So I had some trouble with the ideals and principles. We had that conversation. And so I kind of thought about it a little bit and I realized that, like, it's more like freedom of speech and equality for all for me. Those are two of the huge ones for me.
And I think, which was, they're also things that are very important to me. I'm very much a part of my identity is seeking the truth and speaking the truth. And I get real pissed off when I see people not doing those things. And I tend to call people out on it, which is not always a good thing. But I really had to reflect on that with myself, because if I say that my identity is to be truthful and to seek the truth, it was really hard for me to admit I actually wasn't doing that in my own life, right? Because part of my previous identity, part of my public identity was, well, I'm a healthy person. Well, yeah, I went to yoga and I ate some salads and I took some vitamins, but I actually did that less than what I was actually doing in private. So publicly I was saying, no, look, I'm doing all these things to be a healthy person. And I can't lose the weight. Privately, I was doing things and I was working really hard to lose the weight, but I wasn't doing what I was saying I was doing publicly. So that's where I realized I was really getting into trouble, because I was trying to live this life of two separate identities and it's exhausting. But I could see where it would be equally exhausting, just kind of not, like, knowing what I'm all about and just kind of moving through the world without knowing that. So are there pieces of your true identity that you feel are going to serve you well after weight loss surgery?
I mean, a lot of them, I think, will actually serve me, but there's definitely, like, bits and pieces of some that won't. For example, like, I say education and I'm going to school and stuff like that. Like, school is a huge, huge stress on my life. And that is a part of why I ended up here, like, at this weight, because I stress eat. That's my coping mechanism right now is stress eating. Which a lot of people that I've seen in the community can relate to, that they had that same, like, I'm just going to stress eat. And, yeah. So, like, that's definitely, like, that's like a positive and a negative kind of, like, of education that's not going to suit me. Like, I'm getting my education. I'm, like, doing better for my life. But the stress that's on, like, me for the education, like, in my life is, like, not suiting me at all.
Correct. Right. So your outward identity is, you know, look, I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm, you know, I am a learner, right? That is a huge part of your identity. but your private identity is I'm a learner that doesn't know how to do it without the crutch of food, so to speak, right? In all my conversations with Wendy recently, she's really had me focus on the stories. What stories am I telling myself that are keeping me from making lasting change? And one of the stories that I often tell myself is that, well, I'm stressed and the only way that I can get through stress is to eat. That's not true. That's not a truthful story, but it's a story that I tell myself for a lot of different reasons, right? And any mental health counselor is going to say your brain is wired to do things to help you survive. And for whatever reason, something clicked in your brain years ago that said, well, the only way that I can get through this is to eat food. And, you know, thank God your brain did that, because your brain really thought that you were going to die, right? Like your brain was like, nope, you are not going to make it. You need to do something to survive. So your brain did exactly what it was wired to do, which is to help you survive. It's just the survival mechanism it picked turns out to be one that will actually kill us in the long term. So there's all kinds of like forces within ourselves that are battling each other, and they lead to not great results. And I think what is so devastating for many after weight loss surgery, myself included, is that, you know, a couple of days after surgery, you get stressed, you're angry, you're mad, you're in physical pain, you are really uncomfortable. And you just start thinking like, what the hell did I do to myself? This is ridiculous. And then your very first instinct is to go eat something. And all of a sudden you can't. And it is so heartbreaking, because you just, for me at that moment, I just realized, oh my God, I am so dependent on food. I don't know how to live my life without food. And that is just like, right, gut-wrenching. It's hard to deal with. But to be successful, we have to figure out how to do that without it. So when you think of your current identity, so one of the pieces, so you said, well, part of my identity is health. Your current identity is health. Okay. What does that mean to you? Can you define that for me? What does it mean when you say, well, part of my identity is I'm a healthy person?
Right. So I mean, like you, I kind of was like, yeah, I'm healthy. Like I don't have any, like, I don't have diabetes. I don't have high blood pressure. I don't have this. I don't have that. Like, but I'm severely obese. That's the huge part of it. And like, I would just say like, I'm healthy. Like I like fruits and vegetables, and I eat, like, I don't eat that like much, I guess. Like, I don't know. And so, I mean, I need to have a better relationship with food. That's like part of being healthy, is like having a better relationship with food, and knowing, instead of like the average, like, oh, I eat to live, not like living to eat. That's a huge part for me.
So if I asked you, okay, well, what evidence do you have? So if I'm the judge, right? If you're the lawyer, I'm the judge, and you're saying, no, look, my client is a healthy person. What evidence would you show me, would you give to me, that allow me to go, yeah, no, that's a healthy person? Do you have any of that evidence?
No, not really.
And that's brutal to say, huh?
Right, yeah.
It's like, oh my God, like now I'm being called on the carpet and I actually have to come up with the evidence that I am living this identity, and crickets.
Right.
Yep, and I'm absolutely... You are me 8 months ago, 9 months ago. That's absolutely where I was at, right? Because I did the same thing. Well, but I don't know why I had weight loss surgery. I'm a healthy person. But yet, yeah, I was super like morbidly obese, or super morbidly obese, right? So clearly all of the evidence that's even public says, no, you are not a healthy person, right? Because I am a super morbidly obese person. So I really don't have evidence of that. So I you got to check yourself. You have to get real with it. So do you have a public and a private identity, or do you think you just have one identity?
I mean, I think I'm kind of like in the middle. I try to be transparent, like, with how I feel, like, especially like people in my support system and like that, I guess. But like you were saying, like, oh, I'm healthy, like all this, like, ooh, but then like on the side you're like, I'm not. So I think it's like almost like a perfectly kind of like in the middle of having both.
Okay.
Because gotcha. I personally like fight my own demons. Like I know I don't, like I'm not like, I don't look good because I am obese. And, but in public, like I try to hold myself up with confidence. And like, if people ever snark or look or like make comments, I kind of just go. So yes and no.
Yes. And it's funny you should say that. I was actually thinking about that this morning because, you know, despite my older size, and you're the same way too, despite our sizes, we've been able to accomplish some really great things in our life. So it gave me a lot of comfort knowing that pieces of my identity are solid. I'm not like this isn't like scorched earth policy or anything here, because I've done some amazing things in my life and I know parts of me are real because I have been able to accomplish some fantastic things in my life. Just like you, you're a kindergarten teacher. That is not easy to do. That is, I mean, you and I know the work that teaching is, and we've been able to excel in it. We've been able to do good things with it. We have support systems. We have people in our lives who love us for us, even if we don't exactly know, you know, who we are. That's okay. It means that there are really good pieces in there. So we're not starting from scratch, but we are definitely going with, okay, who am I? What is my identity? And what parts of it need to change? So that kind of brings us to the second step, talking about our current impacts. So how is your current identity really shaping or defining your life? Are you able to point to aspects of your identity that you can kind of say now, no, that's part of the reason that's keeping me behind or holding me behind, or that's part of the reason why I weigh what I weigh? Have you been able to dive into any of that? And that's hard. That is not an easy question to answer, but it's critical because if we don't identify what's not working, we're never going to be able to change it.
Right.
So maybe that's a better question. What is not working for you right now? What is, right? Like clearly you're just like, well, I thought that this would be the case, but clearly this is not working for me.
Right. I kind of go back to like the health and education part of my values. So like I focus my life kind of like around work and school. And so my excuse, like even my parents call me out on it all the time. Oh, you're always doing homework. You're always got homework due. You've always, and like, it's kind of just like, yeah, that's my excuse. That's what I go to. Oh, I can't go for a walk right now. I have to do homework. So they kind of go like hand in hand almost.
So why do you think you do that? Why do you let homework, or why do you let that story be the most important story in your life?
Excuse you. we're busy over here. I mean, I think it's 'cause like maybe I'm scared, but also like it's also something that I'm very passionate about too at the same time. Like, yeah, like I have homework to do. I've procrastinated all day, but like right now in this minute, I have to do homework. They're just excuses at this point.
What do you think you're scared about? That's a super powerful word. That's a like light bulb. What are you scared about?
I have no idea. There's really nothing to be scared about.
Technically, no. Right? Like rationally, you are absolutely correct. But your rational brain is not the one that's controlling the situation right now. It's your irrational brain. Being scared was a huge part of I think how I live my life. Being scared was a really big part of the fact that I had two identities. I'm very much a person who, you know, I like to be liked. I like to be a part of a group. I like to be, you know, out there. I like to be creating like you, but I'm also not a risk taker. I am a very much a calculating person, right? I do not like to do things if I don't have a 95% chance of success, because I do not want to fail, right? I had some experiences when I was younger that really resonated with me, and they made me very afraid to fail. And I mean, like I said, if I don't have that 95% success ratio, I ain't doing it. And that is tragic, because there's so many things that I could have already done, already tried, already learned, and failing did not kill me. It never will kill me. But yet I was so scared to try something new that I just didn't want to go there. And I think with my weight loss too, I too lost 70 pounds following a doctor supervised medical program. I felt great. But I got to my low weight and two things struck me. You know, I realized, oh my God, I don't want to eat like this, because I was eating packet foods and I wasn't happy, and I was angry at the amount of food that I was not consuming. I wanted to consume more. I wanted to feel full. I wanted that numbing sensation, and I couldn't get it. And that was very frustrating. And then I just realized, oh my God, I don't know how to live at a lower weight. And those two things always would coalesce, and I would just absolutely panic. And I just thought, oh, nope, I can't do this. I'm out. I'm going to go back to my old ways, because this is so hard. This is so frustrating. I know that I'm eventually going to fail, which was a story I was telling myself, right? So it doesn't, me being fat for some reason never equated to me failing, right? It was just like, well, it doesn't matter. Like, it's almost like, which I've heard before, talked about it a lot. It's that, you know, well, there's a bad fat person and there's a good fat person. A good fat person is always trying to better themselves. So at least society looks at you as like, oh, well, you're a good fat person. You're trying to lose weight. Right. So that's not failure, because I'm trying. I'm doing everything I possibly can do to not weigh this weight. And I can say that truthfully. I really was doing everything I could do to not lose the weight. But there was also this piece of me that said, well, but you know, you're going to fail at that. So you can keep trying, but you're always going to come back to here. So that's okay. Right. Just not good things that kept me perpetually stuck in this environment. But I think like you, I got to the point where it was like, something's got to give. I can't keep living like this. I feel like I am losing my mind. I'm on a damn hamster wheel of weight loss, and it's driving me crazy. And I was even getting to the point where I was starting to have very minor health things creep up. My husband and I miscarried twice. And every single time, my phenomenal doctors just said, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with your husband. You have a 1 in a billion chance of actually conceiving a child, you know, to birth. So it's not you. But every time I would ask the question, well, there's got to be something I can do. And they would just say, well, I mean, the medical research is kind of there, but, you know, weight can sometimes impact. Okay. But you just, yeah, it's not good. So if you're struggling with identifying, like, okay, well, how is this currently impacting my life? I think you kind of know, right? You're scared about something. I don't want to approach this, so I'm going to use these pieces of my identity to shield myself from actually doing the work. Okay. And, you know, when you and I talked about this, I'd said, you know, it might be kind of hard to figure this out, because you're not actually living that life yet. You're not to that point of desperation where you actually cannot use food anymore. Because right now you can still use food. Mm-hmm. And you can go back to that.
Yeah.
Right? So that's always your fallback. But after surgery, that's not your fallback anymore. You are out of options. And my dad's most famous favorite line is, I'm totally butchering this, but he basically says, like, change only occurs when the pain of remaining the same is too great. And you're definitely at that threshold. The pain of living the same is so great that you are willing to undergo major surgery to give you a tool to finally battle that. So I think it's important to know that if you feel like you can't do this work now, I'm going to tell you that's a story. You absolutely can do this work now. So, but once you have the surgery, you're going to have a tool that is very powerful and will help you complete this work. So if you choose to dive into this now, you absolutely can, and I think you should. If you dive into this work after you have surgery, awesome. You have an extra tool to get that done. So I would just really encourage you to really continue to get clear about what your current identity is. Write it down. Write down everything that you're thinking of. And then once you've identified all these things that you say, okay, no, this is my identity, kind of go through each piece. What evidence do I have that says that I am living this identity, right? And just take note of it. Because as you said, like with health, I think my identity is a healthy person. I don't have any evidence of that, okay? And then really get honest with, okay, how are these aspects of my identity, how are they currently impacting me? And be really honest about that. And I think you're well on the way to doing that. I mean, you already know, like, well, part of my identity is I'm a learner, which is awesome, but I'm using that identity to allow me or to give myself permission to not deal with these other facets of my life. So I think really getting clear about, okay, how is this currently impacting me? And what parts of my identity are going to help me after weight loss surgery and what parts are going to hinder me after weight loss surgery. So thinking like just where you are right now with all these crazy thoughts, who do you have to be successful after weight loss surgery? What's the type of person you like? Yeah. Like, what are you going to have to do? What values are you going to have to live by? What identity are you going to have to be successful after weight loss surgery?
I mean, it goes back to that, like almost health too. Like I'm going to have to like live like a healthy person, like, you know, get in all of my nutrients, go exercise, stop making excuses and just like do it. Like, that's a huge one. I mean, after, like, I just want to have that ability to, like, be active, too, and, like, not feel, like, joint pain anymore or, like, my back pain as frequent as I feel it, too.
So when you think of a healthy person, is there somebody in your life who you know to be a healthy person? What does that person do every day that you see to be a healthy person?
It's that work out, eat healthy. It's also like a positive attitude too. I mean, that's also another one is like the attitude, positive attitude, be happy kind of portion too. That's definitely something like after surgery, I want to like take as like a value and like hold it.
And that can be a challenging one, right? Because things happen in life and we can't always be happy. We can't always have a good attitude. Do you think that person is just like a naturally happy person? Or do you think that there's something that person is doing to help create a happier outlook on life for themselves? Do you think it's something they work at? Or do you think it's something that they just like naturally have?
It's probably both. I mean, there's some evidence there that like, you know, working out and eating healthy helps you feel better. So, I mean, yeah, it could totally be both.
Yeah. The learning that I've done around happiness, I continue to kind of hear the same things, is that happiness is not about, you know, like setting a goal and then reaching that goal, right? Happiness is really kind of this absence of desire. It's when we can sit back and we can just not feel that we want or need anything beyond what we are or what we have or our current situation, which is great. Okay. I get that. But how do I not want something? How do I not desire something? And what I continue to hear is that gratitude is the key, right? If we just take a step back and we're grateful for what we have, we stop focusing on what we don't have and we're only focusing on what we do have. And the more time and space that we can make on our lives for gratitude, happiness tends to increase, which I guess would kind of go hand in hand. If I'm thankful for what I have, I all of a sudden realize, oh, I really don't need any, I'm not desiring anything else beyond this. So I guess I am happy. So while I think I'm the type of person, my personality is just a happy personality. So I guess I have that going for me, but I have certainly noticed, and maybe you've heard me talk about this, and I talk about this often. I feel like after I had weight loss surgery, before surgery, 90% of my day was taken up with food, right? I was thinking about food. I was preparing food. I was shopping for food. Everything was food, 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 food. And after surgery, that all went away. All of a sudden, 90% of my day is free to think about whatever the hell I wanted to think about or do. So I can just imagine, like, you know, if I apply those same numbers to your situation, you're going to get done with your homework. So like, you're going to all of a sudden be like, oh my God, I have nothing to do because I've done everything that I had to get done on my to-do list. And then all of a sudden you have all this space in your brain to do other things. And the amazing gift, I think, of weight loss surgery is that now I have this brain power. Now I have this capacity to think about these things that we're talking about today, to think about my identity, or to create the things that I've always wanted to create. That's what you said. You're a creator. Like, that's just like who you are inside. And I'm so excited for you to actually experience this time gift that I just never knew was going to come with weight loss surgery. So I know that, that's probably going to be a really big part of your identity moving forward. And to know that, well, now I have the time to focus on gratitude, or now I have the time to really sit and reflect on this. Because I think if you're feeling like I have no time to do this work, I get what you're talking about. Because so much of your day is dedicated to some aspect of food. Does that connect with you? Does that resonate with you? Or are you experiencing something different?
No, it definitely connects.
It's just amazing how much of our day is, yeah, taken up with food. It's just unbelievable. Okay, so being healthy is definitely going to be part of your identity. And you did kind of mention this. So what are some concrete things that you're going to have to do every day? How are you going to live as a healthy person? What would you have to do to produce the evidence to show that you are a healthy person?
Obviously weight loss surgery. That's my first step. Like, yep.
Big old piece of evidence. I had weight loss surgery.
Right. And then putting in that work to maintain and, so like taking my vitamins and making sure my protein's in and water.
Right. Yeah.
We've had this conversation like about the bullet journal. So I think that's like a huge part. Like I've said to you, like I've always wanted a bullet journal, and I've just never, I was like, what do I need a bullet journal for? What do I need to track? So now like, I will track now. Like, I have something concrete that I need to do every day that I need to track.
Yes, right? Because as you and I know, because we've done our learning with James Clear and Atomic Habits, we have to have evidence that shows that we're living that identity. And the only way that we have evidence is basically to track it, right? We have to physically gather these pieces of evidence that prove to us, we are living this healthy life. So if you are watching this podcast, we're sharing some information on the screen, and if I can get to the right screen, that would be awesome. There we go. So when I sat down and did this work, so we're in the refine and revise phase, right? My disappointment was, I just thought, okay, well, I would automatically be a healthy person. I thought my previous identity was, I am a healthy person. I don't have that evidence. But I do want my identity to be a healthy person. I want people to look at me and go, that's a healthy person. And I want to have the evidence personally to say, no, I am a healthy person. So I sat down with this question, right? Like, who do I need to be? What do I need to be successful? Well, I do have to be a healthy person. That's the only way that I'm going to be successful after weight loss surgery. There's no magic bullet. Weight loss surgery doesn't do jack for our brain. weight loss surgery only gives us the physical signals that we are full and to stop eating, which is a huge tool that I didn't necessarily have before. I did have it, but I didn't listen to it. You know, that's a whole nother conversation, but so, right. So, okay. If I'm a healthy person, what am I going to be doing to live this healthy life? And I did what the question that I asked you, I thought of the people who are truly healthy in my life, right? The healthy people. And really the healthiest people I know are actually my grandparents, which sounds maybe a little bit weird, but they are freaking healthy people. They're 89, living their best lives. I mean, it's just phenomenal. Well, the healthy people in my life, they get in their nutrition, they get in sleep, they are active. They're not gym rats. Obviously my 89-year-old grandfather's not going to Orange Theory Fitness and busting out, you know, hour-long cardio things, but they are active. They're active people. And they are mentally strong, right? So these four things were like, nope, this is what it would mean for me to be a healthy person. And if anybody from the outside looked at my life, they would see the same evidence and they would concur, right? They would go, yep, nope, that's a healthy person. So once I identified these big things, then I took it a step further, right? And I planned backwards. I said, okay, well, if I am getting in my nutrition, what does that mean? Or what does that look like every single day? And for me, it was, well, I would track my food. I would actually know what I'm eating every day. And I would be able to look at a food log and go, those are healthy choices. Or most of those things are healthy choices. I would be getting in my macros, right? So as you know, you've had some nutrition appointments. Your surgeon's going to say, you need this much protein, you need this much water, you should shoot for these carbs and this fat level, right? So, but I would again have to track that. I would have to know what I'm ingesting every day. And then if I noticed that I was not getting in those macros, I would need to make adjustments. And again, you can see there on my little page, water jug, right? I would be drinking lots of water. So, yeah, right? Like this is the story. Like you can, oh, I swear to God, you can tell who's had weight loss because they're latched to their water jug or to their beverage jug of choice. So I'd be doing that every day. And then I'd be taking my daily vitamins. And for me, it's great to write these things down. It's great to know like, oh no, this is what I need to do. I have to take it even a step further. So as you can see there, I said, track food. Okay, well, how am I going to track food? Well, I recommitted to Weight Watchers and I track my food now on the Weight Watchers app. It's been awesome. It works like a champ for me. How would I know that I'm getting in my macros? Well, I would have to be preparing meals and I'd have to be figuring out what those macros in, right? Which goes into tracking my food. And it's great to say that I need to take my daily vitamins. Before when I wrote this, I was not good at that. I just knew that was something I was going to have to do if I wanted to have evidence that I was getting in my nutrition and being a healthy person. So as you can see there, my notes on the page said, well, I need to move vitamins to my existing habit stops, right? So for me, that meant that I have a once a day multivitamin that I take and then I do two calcium chews. Well, I wasn't getting those in consistently. So I take my multivitamin at night now when I take my sleep supplement. So those things go hand in hand. So I made it convenient. I made it so that I couldn't mess it up. And then I put my calcium chews. I have this beautiful little dish that I love. I put my calcium chews in that dish. They're on my counter right next to my smoothie station because I have a coffee or protein coffee or smoothie every day. So every time I eat one, I leave the wrapper on the counter, which drives me crazy because I don't like stuff on my counters, but there's my evidence. So not only is it it's a cue, it's a reminder that I need to do something, but I have the evidence that I've taken it because I got two wrappers on the counter. So once I know I've got two wrappers on the counter, oh, I've done it. I can check it off on my tracker, right? You've seen what my bullet journal looks like. I kind of track the same way that you do as well. So I go to my bullet journal, check it off. It's so powerful to look back on a month or just to look at the month so far and to see that I have the evidence that I've done this. Because before weight loss surgery, I would have told anybody, oh no, like I eat good food. I mean, I sleep okay. No, I'm active all the time. I'm active all the time. And no, I'm seeing a counselor and I'm working on my mental strength. The only thing that I feel confident thinking back to that old life was that I was working on my mental strength. I've been working on my mental strength for years because I've seen a counselor for 15 or 16 years at this point now. Mm-hmm. But everything else, I didn't have any evidence of that. I could talk a great game, but nowhere, if I was called in front of the judge, I would be like you. Like what you said.
Yeah.
I don't have anything. I absolutely don't have anything. But now I can say I have something, right? And as James Clear says in the book Atomic Habits, you don't need 100%. You don't need a unanimous vote, so to speak. You just need a majority. Mm-hmm. And it's so nice to be able to look back on my tracker and go, I have a majority. I might not be perfect, that's okay. But I have evidence that shows that I am living my healthy identity, or this aspect of my healthy identity. And if you don't have that evidence, you're going to tell yourself story after story after story, and you're going to all of a sudden realize that a year has gone by, nothing has changed, and you're telling yourself the same story. And that's just devastating, right? That's not what any of us want. So when you're looking at a graph like this, does this kind of make sense? Does this kind of help you get clear about like, okay, no, if this is who I want to be, this is what I have to do, and then here's how I'm going to make that happen?
Yeah, it totally makes sense.
Yeah, because like when you were talking about like, well, if I was a healthy person, I would be taking my vitamins or I would be active, right? So you could be collecting evidence that aligns to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even when we were in the meetup and you showed me this, I was like, wow, I was just like, this makes total sense. You just kind of break it down.
Yes. Yep. Exactly. All right. And then the last step is really step four, which is just plan backwards, which is really what we've been talking about here. So when you look at this as a whole, everything that we talked about today, what parts are you feeling like, okay, yeah, this makes sense. I got this. Is it everything? Are there pieces to this?
I mean, it all kind of correlates together. I mean, I think like my next point, like going through like all of this, is kind of taking that, the visual that you have, and just kind of breaking it up and saying, all right, so I want to be healthy. I want to be happy. I want to be able to do this. I want to be able to do that. But like, I need to break it down. How am I going to do this? So yeah, I mean, it's just all.
I know. That's a lot. It can be a lot to think about, right? But the very good thing, the thing that I think is most powerful, is that we know that our identities are multifaceted, right? We know that there could be 23 different parts that make up your identity. And that's probably a good thing, because none of us are just one thing, right? We are multifaceted. Like you said, I'm an educator, I'm a learner, I'm a creator. I want to be a healthy person. I want to be a happy person. You know, all of those things are what come together to make you who you are. So, you know, to think that you just have to pick one thing is, it's powerful to know that you are multifaceted. I think it's also powerful to know that you can do this with each of those facets of your life. And it's also powerful, which I've really had to teach myself, because I'm very much an all-in person. Like, nope, I'm going to do it all at the same time, which is detrimental, because that's crazy. You can't take on that much work at once. It's not, you know, it's kind of like you in school. Like, well, I'm working full-time, I'm going to school full-time. It's really hard to do it all when you really are trying to do it all. It just, it bogs you down. So like for me, I focus, like right now, I'm still just focusing on nutrition, because I haven't quite mastered all of that stuff yet, right? So I track my food in the Weight Watchers app. This past week, I didn't do great. Like, I only maybe tracked a few meals. So I know that I haven't really mastered this yet. So I'm not going to move on to sleep, activity, and mental strength until I really have figured out my nutrition, because I need this to stick. So I'm just going to chunk this out into little small pieces. So knowing that you don't need to tackle all of it at once, I think is also really powerful too. So when I think back to kind of those earlier questions about like, okay, what is my current identity? And then what parts of those are going to serve me or what, how are they currently impacting me? Do you feel like you have some new things to try to really help you dive into that, to get clear about your current identity?
I do.
Okay. What do you think is going to be the most powerful tool or the most powerful piece for you in helping to identify that?
I really think like probably like the visual. It's like, I feel like we're like you said, like almost like the same, like this, like it, like the first time I saw it, I was like, this makes sense. Like, this is just it. Like, and like, I need to sit down now and say, okay, like we talked about being a healthy person, like healthy and happy can totally correlate together. So like, I could totally just do that in one. Like if I have my nutrition in, if I have, like if I'm getting my activities in, and if I'm going and seeing my therapist every 2 weeks, like I normally do, I'm in a right step.
Yeah.
Being able to write it down, like, will just like make me like say like, okay, like I've done this, this, and this. So we're in the right step instead of the backward step, I guess.
Yep. Yep. Totally. And I would even encourage you, you can do the same, you can ask yourself the same questions now. So when if you sit down and you go, okay, what is my current identity? And you just, you write down everything that you can think of. And then you do this same thing, right? So if my current identity is healthy, right? What would that look like? Or what does that look like? Right? And if you don't have evidence for that, that's okay. All you're doing is just acknowledging where I'm at, right? All I'm saying is like, okay, here is my current picture. And for me, when I did that, when I said, okay, here is where I'm at, I at least was in the space to go, okay, I know why I did that, or I know why I think that. And I could at least thank my brain for doing what it needed to do to help me survive. Right? So it didn't kick me into the shame cycle, which would have kicked me down into eating a bag of Cheetos in the closet by myself, right? I could at least say, okay, you know what? Thank you, brain. You did what you were supposed to do and keep me alive. I thank you for that. And I definitely am in the place where that is true for me. I thank my brain every day for doing what it needed to do to help me survive. So once I got that really clear landscape of, nope, okay, this is who I am at the moment, I could at least say, I could look at that graphic and go, I'm not happy with this aspect of my identity, right? Like, that is a part that I'm not happy about. I don't like it. And I can make it, I can choose to get rid of it, or I can choose to change it into a positive aspect of my identity, right? Because part of my identity is definitely that fear thing, right? And I'm not proud about that piece of my identity. But now that I've identified that, I can use that as a positive, right? Because like starting this podcast with Jason, there was definitely a huge fear thing for me. It was like, oh God, but what if nobody listens? Or what if somebody doesn't like what I say? Or what if it just never gets off the ground? That's always a fear that's in the back of my brain. But the flip side to that is, but look at what you're going to learn. Look at what you're going to gain. Look at what you're going to understand about yourself and other people. So it was a very powerful way for me to flip something to be a positive instead of a negative. But if I would have never identified what all the pieces of my identity were, even the pieces that I didn't like, I would have never known that I had the power to tell myself a different story, to operate differently, and to look at it with a different lens. So I very much encourage you to dive deep and to go to those places of your identity that you just don't want to go. Because there's reasons for everything. There's absolutely reasons for everything. Okay, so are you feeling like, did you get out of this conversation what you were hoping to get out of today?
I did, yeah. I my head is spinning and I have so many thoughts and I have like a better idea of like how I need to identify myself and how I need to go through every aspect of who I am and write them all down and just kind of determine on whether or not they're I don't even know, like, gonna help me or they're gonna destroy me.
Yes, that's perfect. Yes, that's a really great way to put it, because that is true. There are pieces of our identity, there are pieces of my identity that were keeping me a super morbidly obese person. There just was. And that's okay. Like I said, they were there for a reason. They helped me survive, and I can't be mad at them, because if I'm mad at them, then I'm never going to let them go. And I, for me to move on, I needed to let those go. I think they are all still a part of me. And that's okay, because it made me who I am now, and it made me who I was before surgery. Because you're not a bad person. No, there's, like I said, there's pieces of my identity that I don't like, but at least I know that they exist. And when I have the capacity to dive into them, or when I see those pieces of my identity coming out, now I can go, oh, wait a minute, I know what that is. And I don't like that. So I can make a different decision. I can rewrite this story, and I can make it be what I want it to be. Yeah. Super, super powerful. Do you have any questions for me? Anything that like popped into your brain and you're like, oh, well, you know, what about this? Or this makes me think about this.
I don't think so.
Awesome. That's a good thing.
That doesn't mean in an hour I won't.
No. Exactly. And that is the power of, that is truly the power of our, of this community that we created. I forever remain amazed at the things that I learn every day, just like going through my Instagram feed. And I am so blown away that every time I see something on somebody else's page and I message them about it, or I have a question, there's always a response. It's always super positive. I feel like it's always meaningful. And I'm just so thankful that so many people in the weight loss community on Instagram are down to be honest. There's very little smoke and mirrors that I've found. I mean, of course there are, but I'm just so thankful. So I hope that you continue to use Jason and I, and continue to use East to West Weight Loss Surgery as a place for you to go and to help with that. Cause that's why we created it. That's why we're here. So, okay. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up our conversation. I definitely learned a lot. I definitely have some new things floating around in my brain. So thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for, you know, like being brave and asking that question. Cause you know, if you have that question, so does everybody else. Definitely. So to all of our listeners and our viewers, thank you so much for tuning in today. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoy this podcast, if you enjoy watching us, please subscribe. You can find us on all of your favorite podcast platforms, and you can also find us on our YouTube channel. All you need to do is just search for East, the number 2, West, _ Weight Loss Surgery, WLS, and you can find us there. I think that's it. Anything else you want to say for the good of the order, Becca?
No, I just want to thank you and Jason for allowing me to do this. I mean, it was totally a different experience for me, but I've learned so much, even like from this conversation that we just had to all of the podcasts so far that you have put together.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Yep. Thank you. Thank you for that feedback. And yeah, and as Becca said too, if you guys love what you're hearing and you love what you're seeing, we would love a positive review on the podcast app or on YouTube. The more positive reviews that we have, the more kind of playtime it gets on those bigger platforms. So we definitely want to make sure that we continue to serve the community. And if you're like Becca, if you have a question about something, if you want to explore something in depth, or if you just have a wondering, please let us know so that we can talk to you about it. And if we don't have experience in that, or if we're also wondering the same thing too, we can reach out to people in our community and find the answers and get that information out to us. So please do pass along your ideas. We've had a couple really great suggestions from our community. We're really excited to dive into them more. And like I said, we're always looking for new things to do. So okay. Well, Becca, thank you again so much for joining us. I hope everybody got something out of it. We'd love your feedback. We would love your input. And yeah, we're just excited to grow the community. All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you on the flip side.